The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear. Only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with them and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. They were immediately overcome with amazement. He strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this point in our gospel, the gospel of Mark chapter 5, the news of Jesus, of his teaching, his preaching, his casting out demons, and of course, his healing, the news had spread. The news had gone out. It spread like wildfire. Everywhere that Jesus went, people flocked to him, wanting something from him. And we see this as soon as Jesus stepped off of the Sea of Galilee, and he's surrounded now by a sea of people, gathered, thronged about him. Then Mark introduces us to one particular man in that sea of faces. We're told about Jairus. Jairus, this one man, he is a ruler of the synagogue. He is a respected leader. He is an important, significant man of standing. But Jairus is also a desperate man, a man in need of help, a man in need. He's at the end of his rope, in desperate need of help. His precious little girl is on the verge of death, unimaginable. Yet, Jairus had heard about this Jesus. When it looked like no one in all the world could help, Jesus could. Jesus could and would help. Jairus believed that. That is faith. But there were all those people, this crowd of people, all this sea of people surrounding Jesus. Would Jesus stop? Would Jesus care about just one face amongst the sea of people, this crowd of people? Would Jesus care about just the one? In his desperation, this Jairus humbly throws himself at the feet of Jesus. He pleads, "My little girl is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her. I believe, Jesus. I believe you can do this. Come, lay your hands on her, and she may be made well and live." That's faith. He could, and he would help. In verse 24, it simply says that Jesus went with him. He went with him. No questions asked, no hesitation. Out of all the sea of people, Jesus went with just the one, just for Jairus, and just for his precious little daughter. Jesus' actions here reveal his heart. He deeply cares. He cares for all, certainly. He cares for just the one individual soul person in the sea of the crowd, this one man and his daughter. Of course, as Jesus went with him, the crowd followed along with him. The sea of people thronged about him, we're told. They're packed in. They're all over him. Yet in the midst of this chaotic sea, Jesus once again recognizes just the one individual person, a suffering, also desperate woman who also is at the end of her rope. She too needed help. For 12 years she suffered. For 12 years she sought a cure. The doctors couldn't help her. They took money from her, but they couldn't help. It actually got worse, the text says. But then came Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Jesus could and would help. There's faith. If I just touch his garments, she says, if I just touch his garments, I will be made well. That's faith. This poor woman didn't want to cause a big scene. She wasn't looking for accolades and attention. She had a quiet but bold faith that even after 12 years of suffering, Jesus could and would heal her. And so it was. She touched his garments. As soon as she did, she was healed. Immediately, Jesus healed her. But it wasn't like this was an accident. It wasn't like some power just kind of slipped out of Jesus, oops, and healed her. Jesus did it intentionally. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew her. He knew her situation. He knew her desperate need, and he healed her. He could, and he would heal her. As soon as he healed her, he stops then, and he turned about in the crowd, and he said, "Who touched my garments?" Knowing full well who did it, but he asked, "Who touched my garments?" And of course, the disciples are like, "What are you talking about, Jesus? There's people all over you right now. There's people touching you right now, thronged about you." Yet, as Jesus scanned all those faces in the crowd, with all the tons of people in that crowd, out of the sea of people, he stopped just for her, to strengthen her faith. She too knew exactly what had happened. She experiences Jesus' almighty power to heal her. So she came forward, as you can about imagine, in fear and trembling of Jesus. She fell down before him and told the whole truth, it says. And what does Jesus do? He could and he would help. And what does Jesus do when she is kneeling there before him, telling him the whole truth? Once again, his actions show his heart. He didn't scold her. He strengthened her. He comforted her. He had compassion and mercy upon her. He wanted her to know that she had done nothing wrong, that she had nothing to be ashamed of. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Amid all that chaos, Jesus took the time for just one. But let's not forget about Jairus and his daughter, because Jesus certainly didn't. But you can about imagine how anxious Jairus was to have been when Jesus stopped for this other woman, right? Every second that Jesus took talking to this poor woman was 1 second closer that his daughter was going to die. Come on, Jesus. We've got to go. We've got to get there in time. And then came the heart-wrenching, unimaginable news that no parent ever wants to hear. Your daughter is dead. Come, let's not bother the teacher anymore. Let Jesus go. Let him go on his way. It's too late. There's nothing that we can do for her now. Death has won. And as everybody knows, death can't be undone. It can't be defeated. Hearing this, Jesus turned to Jairus, filled with compassion and care, and he said, "Don't fear, only believe." And then Jesus dismissed the crowd. Peter, James, and John, they come with him. They're going to witness this miracle, which is why we have it recorded for us today, by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit's work. But this miracle was not for the crowd. It was not for them. This miracle was just for Jairus, his wife, and their dear, precious daughter. Jesus was about to show them that death could and would be undone and defeated. When Jesus got to the house, he told the mourners that were there, "The child's not dead, but sleeping." They laugh and they scoff at him. So out they go. This miracle's not for them either. This miracle is only for Jairus, his wife, and their little girl. And taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, of course, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And at his word, at his command, it was so. She rose. At Jesus' word, she immediately rose. Death could and would be defeated at Christ's command, who has power over the grave. She arose, walking and talking and eating and doing every other thing that a healthy 12-year-old girl would do. very much alive. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Jesus is the Lord. He could and he would help these one single individuals in the sea of people. And just for you, he can and does help you. The same face of Jesus that's filled with compassion and mercy as he looked upon that suffering woman with the flow of blood. The same Jesus, the same face, that same care and concern that Jesus' face shone towards Jairus and his wife and his, their little girl. That is the same face that looks upon you, dear saints. Each one of us needs help. We are all in desperate need of help. We all need more help than we could ever honestly imagine. And there are times in our lives where we're the ones at the end of the rope, that we have tried everything, that we have talked to all the right people, we've seen all the right specialists, and nothing seems to help. You may begin to wonder, does Jesus care about just little old me? Or am I just a number? Am I just one of those faces in a sea of faces, in a crowd of people? I'm sure he's far too busy for me. Well, our gospel lesson this morning assures us that Jesus does care for each and every one of you. Individually and personally, he cares for you. Jesus, out of the sea of people vying for his attention, is not too busy for you. In a great sea of people, he loves you. He loves you and thinks that you are worth dying for. He has his grace and mercy and compassion for you. He cares about all the things that are weighing on your heart. He cares about your diseases, your pains, your heartbreaks. He hears your prayers and he answers them according to his good and gracious will, according to what is best for you. He can and does help you, for he died for you. He loves you. He forgives you. And he continues to provide for you. He is the great physician of both body and your soul. He gives you physical life as well as spiritual life, eternal life. And he strengthens you. In your desperation, your crucified and risen Savior is here for each one of you this morning. You're not some nameless, faceless person in a sea of people. Jesus can and does care for you individually and personally. And he is here for you in a very personal way. Yes, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we come together as the congregation, but the Lord places upon your lips, your hands, your lips, his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Very personal, the Lord comes to you to forgive you. So come. All of the blessings that Christ sacrificed himself on the cross, our risen Lord has shown us that death can and is defeated in Jesus. And so come, receive that gift of eternal life. Be healed, be forgiven, be strengthened, be covered, comforted, and be loved by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you find yourself still suffering from physical disease, pain, or grief, if you are desperate at the end of your rope, do not fear. Only believe. Believe and know and trust from where your help comes. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, his mercy. For he does not willingly afflict and grieve the children of men. Believe and know and trust that no matter what happens in this life, each one of us, individually, personally, but also together, each one of us is waiting for that great and glorious day when Jesus we will all hear Jesus say, little girl, little boy, dear man, dear woman, dear precious child of God, I say to you, arise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.